You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. Dan first in San Diego, California. He's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. I got a question concerning God's omniscience. In the Old Testament, it talks about his anger. Anger is usually a response to surprise, something that you weren't expecting. God knows everything, so how did he get angry?
Well, you have to recognize God in a couple of different ways. On the one hand, God is ineffable. He is unknowable. He is completely beyond our comprehension. On the other hand, God is immanent. He has chosen to make himself available and known in the real world, and not as a robot, but as a God who deeply cares about people that he created with his imprint, with the imago Dei, with the image and likeness of himself. So he is, on the one hand, not communicable. On the other hand, he's very communicable. And the communicable attributes of God find a reflection of themselves in our humanity. And therefore, when we think about anger, we can see that same reflection in God. Now, there's righteous anger and indignation, and there's unrighteous anger. Unrighteousness finds no place in God whatsoever, but God deeply cares about his people. He did not create them in such a way that their lives are fatalistically determined, but rather that their lives matter, their actions matter, and when they're involved in unrighteous acts, which violate their own humanity and violate his righteousness, then God deeply cares about that. So the fact that God knows should not in any way presuppose that he does not care. He cares deeply. In fact, created us for fellowship with him so that we could be brought in to the love relationships of the Trinity.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, and the more you think about God, the deeper it gets. I mean, I think that we all too often have a view of God, which is the view that finds its reflection in humanity, but God is far greater than that. Again, completely unknowable in his essence, but available to us and knowable in his graces. So we have this truncated view of God, but we should more properly have a holistic view of the ineffable, the one in whom there is no parallel.
I see. Wow. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Richard. He's listening in Long Beach, California. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Hank. I'm an 18-wheeler driver. I drive across the country, and my time is very limited. What I wanted to know is, it's been bothering me for a while, do we have to be a member of a church and attend church service and everything? I mean, I do have a good relationship with God. I carry my word with me. I read every time I get a break and everything. But, you know, I have family and friends that tells me all the time, you need to come to church. And that's pretty much my question. I hope you understand where I'm going with this. Just, you know, is there anywhere in the word that we need to be a member of a church service?
Well, there's a couple of things about this. First of all, a commendation that you're in the Word, that you're communicating with the Lord through prayer. But Christianity is not a Lone Ranger sport. It is about community and communion, which is to say that we are knit together as a body. And if you want to get a good perspective of what that looks like, read Romans chapter 12. And what that chapter underscores is just how critical you are to the body, which is to say that the body desperately needs the gifts and calling that God has placed in your life, just as you desperately need the gifts and the callings of the body collectively. So you are an integral part of the body of Christ. If you remove an ear from your head, you'll still have one ear, but you'll be somewhat incapacitated. If you cut off your nose, there are attendant consequences to that. So just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So it's never a matter of, well, I have to do this. It's a matter of how can I exist without the church? Now, even beyond that, it is in the church that we receive not only word, but sacrament. And those sacraments are very significant, particularly the sacrament of Holy Communion. Partaking of communion in community is partaking of the real presence of Christ, and that sustains us in life. It empowers us. So we have the opportunity, talking to the earlier caller about the communicable attributes of God, but God in his knowability, so to speak, interpenetrates our humanity. So there's a real sense in which the sponge absorbs the ocean. There's a real sense in which the sword, when stuck into flames, takes on the property of fire. It still cuts. The fire still burns, but the sword takes on the property of the fire. There's an inner penetration. And that takes place when we participate in the means of grace. Certainly it takes place when you read the Bible, when you pray, and it's wonderful that you do that, but you don't want to miss out on all that the body has to offer a believer.
Okay, that's understandable. I appreciate it, Hank.
Hey, you got it, man. Thanks for your call, and God bless you and your job.
God bless you. Thank you.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Colin next, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hey, Hank. My question is, when we are resurrected with Jesus and we get to be with him in eternity, do those that are not going to be with Jesus have bodies for eternity?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, Jesus made that crystal clear when he said, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." God does not capriciously rub out the crowning jewels of his creation. He continues to sustain them in existence, but apart from his goodness, his glory, and his grace, and that indeed is hell. So all will be resurrected.
So does it explain where they will be located?
No, a lot of people have made wild speculations about exactly where hell is. Some people say it's in the core of the sun. Other people say it's in the core of the earth. But I think that we're better off not bloviating about things that the Bible is not clear to us about. What we know is that they will be in a realm of existence apart from his goodness, his glory, and his grace. People are experiencing an earnest of that now when they live apart from God. But in eternity, you will experience the full impact of what it means to not experience the loving graces of God. Now, it may very well be that people are going to be in a realm that is separate from the realm we're now in as the realm that God abides in, which is to say, at the present time, there's a veil that separates the habitation of God from the habitation of humanity. That veil is going to be removed, and we're going to see that Christ was always near to us. In the same sense, we can speculate, and again, this is speculation, but we can suppose that somewhere in a new time-space continuum, hell will exist as a geographic reality, and it may be that in the new heavens and the new earth, this is a dimension as out of reach as the realm to which Christ is now transcended. So of one thing we can be sure, the redeemed are never going to accidentally stray into hell's borders, for hell is not merely the physical location, but it is relational dislocation. And relational dislocation will never be the lot of those who have been redeemed. And we should take the question that you've asked extraordinarily serious. It's one thing to simply theorize about hell. It's another thing to recognize that every single person on the planet is going to spend eternity either with the Lord or eternity apart from the Lord. And that should catch all of our attention, because what we do now counts for all eternity, and we can rescue the perishing. In fact, we have been commissioned to rescue the perishing, and that is part of what we do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, but we should do also as individuals. Be right back.
The goal of the Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than a transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will encourage you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be back in a few moments with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI.
or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? If so, prepare to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life in Hank's magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, we'll talk to Jim. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jim.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a lot of friends who believe that law should reflect Christian beliefs. So they believe that, say, for example, homosexuality should be illegal and punishable by jail or even, you know, worse means. I want to know what is your take on that. We have separation of church and state as a doctrine in this country, but how should we look at that?
Well, first of all, let me say that if someone wants to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, they follow the precepts and the principles of the king. And certainly whole civilizations have done that in one form or another. If you look at our ethos and mores, our civil liberties, our art, our language, our science, our jurisprudence, we find that they are a reflection of biblical values. Now, when those biblical values are altered, the civilization pays a price for that. But this is far different than taking arbitrary values and imposing them on people. In other words, arbitrary values are values that are set by shooting stars as opposed to by the North Star. They're values that come out of the size and scope of the latest lobby group. There's no mooring. There's no root or grounding in some objective frame of reference. And I think therein lies the problem.
Yeah. My opinion is that you have to be very careful about creating civil law based on the dominant religion at the time. Because if you look at countries in the Middle East that basically have codified their religious views into civil law, I don't think anyone in America would want to live under that kind of system.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, there's no question that we would not want to live, for example, under the law of Sharia. If you want to get some kind of an idea of what that looks like in the 21st century, just look at Brunei. The Sultan of Brunei is in process of imposing the laws of Sharia. The first phase was implemented in 2015. It includes fines and prison sentences for crimes such as pregnancies outside of wedlock, propagating religions other than Islam, a failure to attend a Friday call to prayer. The second phase includes floggings, cutting off of hands for property offenses and the like. The third phase, I think it's already been implemented, will introduce executions by stoning from everything, including adultery, abortion, sodomy, even blasphemy. So, yeah, I don't think we want the implementation of Sharia law in the United States. But on the other hand, what we're talking about here is ethics and morals which benefit people. So the ethics and morals are there for a reason. You take the issue that you brought up of marriage. The reason the sanctity of marriage is introduced in forms of law is because the innocent are being protected. For example, if you look at all sociological metrics, you see that children benefit greatly by gender-differentiated parenting. So it makes sense to have laws that reflect the things that benefit civilization, that benefit society. And when you transgress those laws, it's not about cutting off your hands, it's about cutting off your nose to spite your face, to use the analogy. It's not about physically cutting off someone's hands, but it is a recognition that when you violate certain parameters, there are certain consequences. If you buy a brand new Mercedes-Benz and use it to plow the field, the Mercedes-Benz is going to break down. You're going to wonder, how come it didn't last very long? Well, it wasn't designed for that. So when you use your body for things that it was not designed for, there are consequences to pay. And so the jurisprudence seeks to save people from the consequences of their own immoralities. And that's the idea. The idea is the laws protect people.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is the way the law should work. You know, what scares me is it seems like many people who say they're Christians want Sharia law, but not, but based on their Christian views. So, you know, if you don't go to church on Sunday, then you get dragged before the magistrate and stuff like that, just like you were talking about in Vinay. And that just...
Well, we live in a pluralistic culture. We, therefore, respect those that disagree with a Christian worldview, but that does not in any way negate the fact that the Christian worldview has strongly influenced the ethos and mores, the civil liberties, and the other things that I mentioned, jurisprudence and so forth, in Western civilization. And I would say that, by and large, when you look at our system of jurisprudence, you'd probably put it up against the jurisprudence that you'd find anywhere else in the world. So that influence has not been a negative influence, but a very positive influence.
All right. Thank you so much. It's so nice to talk to a person who really knows what they're talking about and speaks so intelligently. Thank you.
Well, you're kind. Thank you very much. And ditto. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
My question is on the Sabbath. I know that one of the commandments is, you know, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Is Saturday the true Sabbath, or is Sunday, or is it a, just how would we look at that from a scripture standpoint? If we worship on Sundays, because I have a family member that is very strong on the Saturdays and Sabbath, and if you do anything on Sunday, it's, you know, it's just irrelevant.
Yeah, I think, first of all, we should heed the admonition of the Apostle Paul, who says, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. In fact, playing off those words, I think significantly we find the type and shadow fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ that we have our Sabbath rest, and thus we celebrate on the first day of the week, because through resurrection we have the peace that passes all understanding. We have hope that is hope indeed. It's hard to face tomorrow without the recognition that we will in fact stand upon the earth again in immortal, imperishable, incorruptible bodies. So very, very important to realize that the most dangerous snare for the early Christians was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled all the types and shadows, and that, as I mentioned, in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. So I wouldn't judge someone for worshiping on Saturday as opposed to worshiping on Sunday. What I would say, however, is that God knows what's best for us, and He's laid out a plan for 6 days of labor and 1 day of rest. And we find, even through sociological metrics, that that is the best way for us to function effectively as individuals. So God didn't get it wrong. As always, He got it right. And so we should set apart 1 day to worship, and not worship in isolation, but rather worship in community.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and God bless you, and thank you again.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words. And, you know, we have so many letters coming in and calls coming in, and people talking about how much they appreciate this ministry. It allows them to think through issues. It doesn't mean that everybody has to agree with what I say. What it does mean is that in the course of communication, you can reflect on seminal issues that affect your life and affect the lives of others. And this is why we ask people to stand with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for not only truth, but also life. I believe truth most certainly matters, but life matters more. The menu matters, but the meal matters more. The menu points to a nutritious meal. You can't eat the menu. So we don't want to spend our time simply debating issues, but rather experiencing the living, resurrected Christ. So this ministry is communicated to both truth and life. And for those of you that love the ring of truth and life, we ask you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's easy as going to equip.org/donate. Thanks again for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Instrument Broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.